This morning in the book of Jonah, if you would like to turn there in your Bibles with me. We've come to the chapter 3, and once again I'd like to read this entire chapter through, and then we'll come back to verse 1 and take a look at some points in a summary fashion. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from this fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, and that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Let's go back to verse 1 now. And I want to make sure we're very clear on this point. This is not talking about God having a plan A, as he told Jonah to go out the first time and preach unto Nineveh. God's plan was plan A from the beginning. There is no such thing as plan B. Every single thing, just like we sang in the song a moment ago, He is holy, 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 God, Lord God Almighty of everything. We sing the song, He is Lord of all. That's everything. Every single little thing. Every little bird, every worm, every piece of dust. Pastor Gene once gave a description of the dust that we might see. Even though we've cleaned the church, you'll still see afterwards a little dust floating in the air through the sunlight. Our Lord controls even that. Look back at chapter 1, if you would, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Our Lord sent that wind. He's Lord of all. Look at verse 17 now of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. It was plan A from the beginning. It's always been plan A. Look at verse 10 of chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Our God works all things out according to His will. Our God is in the heavens, and He does whatsoever He pleases. Jonah was sent by God a second time because he had to learn a lesson in the first time. God allowed things to go exactly how they went because that was His plan. So Jonah could come before the people and declare, salvation is of the Lord. As we read in verse 9 of chapter 2. God's preachers are sent out by God Himself. They either go out with God's message in their hearts, placed there by God, or they go out with nothing at all. And they preach God's word. They preach the whole counsel of God. Judgment is coming. I remember a message our brother Mike brought not too long ago where he focused on that very thing. Judgment must be preached. And the reason for that is because there will be judgment, we need a Savior. Yes. If you don't know that you need a Savior, if you don't know that judgment's coming, you don't know that you need that Savior. How are you going to know about Him? How are you going to call upon Him unless you know about it? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, every single one of us, even my grandmother. Even my mother, my wife, who I love very dearly. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We deserve God's wrath. We have earned judgment. We preach the whole counsel of God. Once you take into consideration in verse 2, we read that the city of Nineveh is a great city. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Consider how far you can walk in a day. 20 miles? Okay. I'm a little on the heavy side. I might not walk more than 5. Think about that for just a moment. Let's say it was 10 miles. 3 days' journey. That's 30 miles across. You know, it's only 15 miles across from West Sacramento to Rancho Cordova. 15 miles. It's only 27 miles from my house to here. I wonder if I could walk here in a day. That's a pretty good-sized city, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Consider that for a moment, because we're going to see in this verse 4, I believe it is, and Jonah began to enter into that city a day's journey. So he's only gone into the city a third of the way. Imagine how many people are in there. That's almost the size of L.A. If you really think about that for a moment. L.A. is pretty big. There's a million people living down there. Oh, how many people there might have been there that same day. So here, he's only into it for a day, and he's crying out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." We also see in verse 4 that's his message. Robert Hawker wrote this: "His message was short and sharp. There was not a word of mercy in it. There was nothing to distract the attention from the hearers from the one point and that one subject, judgment. There is a great deal in that, for we may sometimes say too much in a single sermon and give our hearers a field of wheat instead of a loaf of bread." I thought that was well said. "But Jonah said what he was bidden to say, no more, no less, which is, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' Judgment was declared, our just reward." Verse 5. "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them." Let us not look past this very important point. The people of Nineveh believed God. The world teaches that all you have to do is stop the foolishness, or in other words, start doing the smart thing and believe God. Make a decision. Quit doing those foolish things you've been running around doing in the world. Come to church on Sundays. Be smarter. Let God into your life. Make your decision for Christ today. Follow Him. But what they don't tell you is the things of God are foolishness to the carnal mind. They don't tell you that you can't believe God because you're dead to spiritual things. This is why our Lord said to the Jewish ruler that came to Him in the cover of darkness, "Thou must be born again, for faith is a gift of God." Ephesians 2:8. The whole city believed God. Interesting. Jonah only made it in a third of the way. They didn't have cell phones and all the media that we have today to spread the word. It spread by mouth like wildfire.
Yes, sir.
The whole city believed God and was moved by God to act. And we see their acts in 6 through 8. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and satin ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Jonah was only a third of the way into this great city, yet the word spread like wildfire, all the way to the king's throne. Our brother Russ read this morning from Psalms 41. Allow me to read again those words that he read. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. What made David turn from whatever it was that inspired him to write this psalm? It was Christ. It was God himself. God turns the hearts as he does rivers.
Amen.
He brought me, in verse 2, up. He, our Lord, brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. That's where Nineveh was. They were in their evil ways. They were wicked as could be. They had turned from God. God turned them back. He gave them the gift to believe. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he hath put my a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. May shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Verse 17 it says, But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Jonah was only a third of the way into the city, crying out, In 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet everyone turned. Everyone turned from the ways of their wickedness and turned to God. Verse 9, there's an interesting point. Jonah preached judgment, yet the people looked to God for mercy. What put that search for mercy in their hearts? The same one who gave them the faith. And then we read in verse 10, And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. As I said in the beginning, there is only one plan A, folks. Nothing changed God's mind. Do not be deceived. God's will does not change. Just as the wrath of God is turned away from all of his children, it is not for anything that we have done. It was not because of what they had done there. No, it was for Christ's sake.
Yes.
God's wrath is turned because of what Christ did.
Amen.
This mercy is because of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he stood in our place, because he who knew no sin was made to be sin for our sakes, because his blood was shed for our sakes, because he took the wrath that we have earned and he took it into the grave. And he left it there to be remembered no more. We who Christ died for are spared. He repents from his judgment against us, just as he repented from the judgment against Nineveh for Christ's sake. Oh, for the mercy of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you look into your bulletins that we have today? I'd like to close with an article that is underneath Food for Thought. Not sure who the writer is, but he says, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We read that in Acts 10:36. The sovereign monarch over this whole universe and everything in it. Absolutely nothing, human or otherwise, can thwart his will or stop him from doing what he has purposed. The biblical meaning of the word Lord is supreme controller. The majority of profession Christians blatantly deny that glorious biblical truth. When you say it is my will, not God's will, that brings salvation upon you, then you are denying the lordship of God Almighty. Therefore, they have not confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. They are still spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. Nothing stood in the way, not even Jonah running from the Lord, saving his people in the city of Nineveh. Would you stand with me, please?